On a dark November night, something stirs. Yellow eyes open for the first time. A creature, 8 feet tall, assembled from corpse parts, draws breath. Its creator, Victor Frankenstein, has just achieved what no human has before. He's generated life from death. But instead of pride, he feels only revulsion. He flees, abandoning his creation like a parent deserting a newborn on a doorstep. This moment, this catastrophic rejection, sets in motion a tragedy that will destroy everyone Victor loves. Mary Shelley wrote this story at 18, during a ghost story competition with Lord Byron in 1816. Yet her hideous progeny speaks to us with startling relevance today. As we engineer genes, develop artificial intelligence, and push the boundaries of what's possible, Frankenstein asks the question we still struggle to answer. What do we owe to that which we create? Victor's tragedy begins long before he animates his creature. Growing up in Geneva with loving parents and his adopted sister Elizabeth, he enjoys an idyllic childhood. While Elizabeth delights in poetry and nature's beauty, Victor hungers for nature's hidden secrets. He devours medieval alchemists' works, dreaming of discovering the elixir of life. When lightning destroys an oak tree before his eyes, he shifts his obsession to modern science, eventually leaving for university in Ingolstadt. There, professors describe how modern scientists have acquired almost unlimited powers to penetrate nature's mysteries. Victor throws himself into study with frightening intensity, working through nights, neglecting letters home, sacrificing his health. After 2 years, he discovers how to generate life. Life and death appeared to me ideal bounds, which I should first break through and pour a torrent of light into our dark world. Notice what's missing. Any consideration of whether he should do what he can do. He never asks what this creature will need or what responsibilities come with creating consciousness. His fatal flaw isn't malice. It's the hubris of believing knowledge alone justifies action. This pattern repeats today in every tech disruption that prioritizes innovation over consequence. Victor's triumph turns to horror. The creature's yellow eyes, translucent skin, and black lips repel him instantly. Despite selecting beautiful features, the result disgusts him, so he abandons his creation. No explanation, no guidance, no care. He leaves this newborn consciousness alone in a hostile world. That night, Victor dreams of kissing Elizabeth, only to watch her transform into his dead mother's corpse, a nightmare revealing his guilt about creation and death. When Henry Clervel arrives, Victor collapses into months of fever. His creation wanders alone, confused and rejected. Mary Shelley, who lost her first child and whose mother died birthing her, understood the bond between creator and created. Yet Victor severs it instantly. This abandonment becomes the novel's original sin, the wound from which all violence flows. The creature's haunting question echoes, "You, my creator, abhor me. What hope can I gather from your fellow creatures who owe me nothing?" While Victor recovers, his creation transforms from a sensory-overwhelmed newborn into a thinking being. Seeking refuge from human hostility, he discovers a hovel adjoining the De Lacy family's cottage, becoming an invisible student of humanity. Hidden in his shelter, the creature learns language by listening and emotion by watching. When Felix teaches Safi to read, the creature learns alongside her, discovering three formative books: Milton's Paradise Lost, Plutarch's Lives, and Goethe's Sorrows of Werther. In Paradise Lost, he finds troubling parallels, identifying with both Adam and Satan, created yet abandoned. The novel's most poignant irony emerges. The monster demonstrates more humanity than those who reject him. He secretly helps the cottagers, gathering firewood despite his own hunger. When he approaches the blind father, a promising conversation begins, until the others return and drive him away with violence. This rejection by the family he's come to love marks his transformation. "I was benevolent and good," he later reflects. "Misery made me a fiend." Monstrosity isn't born, it's created through relentless rejection. The De Lacys' rejection ignites something bark within the creature. For the first time, the feelings of revenge and hatred filled my bosom, he confesses. Discovering Victor's journal, revealing his creator's disgust, transforms pain into rage. He burns the cottage and journeys to Geneva. En route, he saves a drowning girl, only to be shot by her companion. Near Geneva, he strangles Victor's younger brother William, then frames innocent Justine Moritz. In the Alps, he confronts Victor. I am malicious because I am miserable. Am I not shunned and hated by all mankind? He demands a female companion. Victor agrees but destroys the unfinished mate, fearing the consequences. The creature retaliates by murdering Henry Clerval, then vows to be with Victor on his wedding night, a promise fulfilled by strangling Elizabeth. Victor's father soon dies of grief. The creature has systematically destroyed Victor's family, just as Victor destroyed his hope for connection. This tragic cycle reveals how rejection transforms benevolence into malice. The creature's violence isn't innate, it's learned. Who is the real monster in Frankenstein? Though physically hideous, the creature begins with profound sensitivity and goodness. He weeps at the cottager's plight and learns language, literature, and history with remarkable speed. Meanwhile, Victor, handsome, educated, privileged, abandons his creation and sacrifices everyone he loves to his obsession. The novel suggests monstrosity lies not in appearance, but in actions. The creature becomes violent only after relentless rejection. His eloquence contrasts sharply with society's assumption that his exterior reflects his interior. This prejudice becomes self-fulfilling. Treated as a monster, he eventually becomes one. Yet he demonstrates profoundly human qualities: desire for connection, capacity for language, appreciation of beauty, moral reasoning. If I have no ties and no affections, he asks, hatred and vice must be my portion. On his deathbed, Victor acknowledges, I created a rational creature and was bound towards him to assure his happiness and well-being. The creature mourns over Victor's corpse, lamenting his crimes brought no happiness. Evil, thenceforth, became my good. He vows to build his own funeral pyre, a conclusion offering no redemption, only the recognition that creation without care leads to mutual destruction. 2 centuries later, Frankenstein speaks with renewed urgency. As we engineer genes, develop artificial intelligence, and push technological boundaries, Victor's cautionary tale resonates powerfully. The novel captures our ambivalence about scientific progress, celebrating human ingenuity while warning against consequences divorced from ethical consideration. The creature's eloquent plea challenges how society creates monsters through rejection. His question, am I to be thought the only criminal when all humankind sinned against me? Resonates with ongoing struggles for inclusion. Mary Shelley's genius was recognizing that our greatest responsibility lies not in what we can create, but in how we care for what we bring into existence. Consider today's technologies, artificial intelligences that may possess consciousness, gene editing shaping future generations, systems making life and death decisions. Frankenstein warns that abandonment, whether of a creature, technology, or consequence, doesn't erase responsibility. Victor's tragedy reminds us that playing God requires more than power. It demands wisdom, care, and courage to face what we've made.